This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have an inspiring message from our friends over at Voice of Prophecy. A little talk on the Oregon Trail, another wonderful recipe from Gia and her clan, and music by Don Singh and Chris James.
Plus, the Health Connection is back. Don't go anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are thrilled that you're joining us on this Monday morning here at Wake Up With Hope.
That's right. And not only is it Monday, but it's International Day for Biological Diversity. God has created so many different types of fruits, vegetables, and flowers and other things in our incredible environment.
That's true. And did you know that most of us eat the same types of fruits and vegetables over and over, yet there are so many different types of produce available?
That's true. And I think a lot of the fruits and vegetables we eat have to do with where we live and what's available. But if there's a farmer's market in your area, today or this week is a great time to visit a farmer's market or the co-ops in your local area and try new types of produce.
That sounds fun.
That is fun.
You know, it's true that God has created so many different amazing things in our environment for us to enjoy. So let's go out there and celebrate biodiversity.
On today's program, we also have a diverse lineup. We have health tips, music, devotionals, a recipe, and so much more.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1843, the first major wagon train to the Northwest departs from Elm Grove, Missouri on the Oregon Trail. Although U.S. sovereignty over the Oregon Territory was not clearly established until 1846, American fur trappers and missionary groups had been living in the region for decades. Dozens of books and lectures proclaimed Oregon's agricultural potential, piquing the interest of white American farmers. The Oregon Trail was filled with obstacles, including accidental discharge of firearms, falling off mules or horses, drowning in river crossings, and disease. After entering the mountains, the trail also became much more difficult with steep ascents and descents over rocky terrain. The pioneers risked injury from overturned and runaway wagons, yet the vast majority of pioneers on the trail survived to reach their destination in the fertile, well-watered land of Western Oregon.
You know, people brave the trail because of the prospects on the other side. You know, and as Christians, we know the journey is often difficult. We may lose friends or jobs and be challenged beyond our imagination to be bold for Christ and many other things. How can we stay motivated? Just as the pioneers knew when they reached Oregon, it would be worth it all, we can be sure that when we reach heaven, friends, we will say it was worth it all. So stay true, friends. Stay faithful. Remember that God has promised that you are not alone in this journey. He has promised to be with you, to guide you along and strengthen you. Friends, He's not going to fail you, and it will be all worth it in the end.
Amen. Praise God.
Have you tried any of our recipes? Don't forget to let us know. Leave us a message on our official Hope Channel Facebook page and let us know how you liked it. Let's welcome Gia and Olive now with their recipe on green pea mingle.
Today we are making the green pea mingle, and it's from the Revive Cookbook. I suggest you look at that cookbook. It's awesome. The recipes are great and they're easy. And if your kids don't like greens like silver beet, spinach and peas, they will love this recipe. Olive had it last night. Did you like it?
No.
You didn't? Oh, you just said you did. Okay, it's true. She didn't actually like it. But my son Moses, he actually ate the whole thing. And you said you didn't like this one, but you liked that one. Is that right? So let's try it, okay? So I added just a tablespoon of olive oil. And this is 3 cups of silver beet. But I don't put it all in together because you need to let it wilt a little bit. So we'll go slowly with that. But first, garlic. It calls for 2 cloves, but add as much as you want. I'm going to add lots. I'm going to add maybe 3 cloves. 3. I'm going to add 3 to this one because you love the garlic in it. I know. Oh, my son loved it. And everyone else in the family loved it. Okay, so cook the garlic. We're going to put the peas in. Do you want to give them to me? Okay, you can collect them and I'll put that in there. You collect the rest. And it's so simple. It's only a few ingredients and then you just throw it all into a pan and cook it, fry it off. So we'll add a little bit of salt, maybe just a quarter of a teaspoon. You can salt it according to the taste, so you can taste it. And if you want more salt, add it. If you don't have to. Put some more of the silver beet, let it wilt. Once it wilts down, then you add the rest to it.
And wilt.
Whoa, I've lost some peas. Now, there is another ingredient you put in this, and it's a tablespoon of honey. And if you don't want to use honey, we actually have a really good recipe for date paste on our website. I sometimes use date paste. If I've got some, I don't today, so I'm just going to use a little bit of a honey just to give it a bit of a sweetness. And I think that's probably why the kids love it so much, because it's sweet and a bit of salt, a bit of garlic. And you only need to cook it until it's just warm through, so it doesn't need to be overcooked. So you want it to look green still and flavoursome. Ah, sorry, I stole it. There you go. Are you going to help me in the end and put this on top? So you hold those. That's okay, I'll put it on top. Olive's having fun with the sesame seeds. Yay! I'm losing it. That's okay. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Ooh! Owie! That burnt my fingers. Ouch, never do that. Okay, so it's done. Well, you've messed up the plate, so I'm going to grab another plate. And we are going to put some in there. It's not that hot anymore. Yay! So I let it cook for about 5 minutes. Just like I said, enough to heat it through. Oh, it looks awesome. I could smell the garlic. It's awesome. And we are going to throw... We made a big mess. Yay, I love making messes in the kitchen. Yep, let's do that. Let me do this. Oh, and just some toasted sesame seeds on top. And there you have it, a nice side dish for your table. You've got people over to add to your meal. Enjoy.
It's now time for music as Don Singh and Chris James sing the song, The Name of Jesus.
What's in a name inside that can save a life like mine? Which my impossibility is his reality. From beginning to the end, creator of all things, the name that resounds through the galaxies untold, Redeemer and friend, and Savior of all kind, His name is Jesus, the name above all other names. He died on that cross that we might live. His infinite love is impossible. From beginning to the end, creator of all things, the name that resounds through the galaxies untold, Redeemer and friend, Savior of all kind, His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The only name His name is Jesus, the name above all the other names. There's a name in time that saved a world like mine.
If you're enjoying today's show, share with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or to rewatch any segment.
And search for us on YouTube, friends. Check out our channel there and keep up with us.
The Health Connection is coming right up after this break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. You know, we hope our program will be a lovely way to start your week.
The Health Connection is back this morning with more insightful and practical tips for abundant, healthful living.
Hi, I am Dr. Zeno Charles Marcel, and I'm very pleased to be here because we want to make a health connection with you. Yeah, you may know this, but sometimes I have to remind people and remind myself that the brain is a physical organ. It's part of our physical body, and we should take care of it just as we take care of any other part of the body, especially if we think that the brain is a useful organ. Now, I know you do, and I do too. Now, to a violinist, a sculptor, a surgeon, a quarterback, taking care of the hands is obviously very important for them to be successful at their chosen occupations. But are their brains any less important to their success at their craft? Well, just as the physical body obviously can be important in preventing problems and provoke illnesses, the mind is also a source of many illnesses. It's a two-way highway that exists connecting the mental and the physical soundness. And that has implications even for our spiritual well-being, because spiritual well-being is something that deals with the mind. So, situations that we might characterize as stress, anxiety, anger, depression, envy or jealousy, and other destructive emotions and mental states, these can cause various physical health problems, even acting through the immune system. We have a system that is called the psychoneuroendocrinoimmunology. In other words, we know that the mind works through the nervous system and the endocrine system, and also works through the immune system. So what is happening in our minds actually affects our bodies in these multiple ways. Now, I mentioned a two-way highway, but it's actually a multi-lane cross connection of multiple channels between the mind and the body. Now, they have linked mental negative thoughts and negative emotions to heart disease, cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, etc. And these emotional, mental, behavioral conditions also affect something that's very important. They affect our decision-making and our tendencies towards taking risky behavior or engaging in impulsive activity. Now, these things, impulsive activities and risky behaviors, they can lead to irreversible consequences. So, destructive emotional mental states can cause physical health problems. But the converse is also true. Uplifting mental emotional states can improve or facilitate better physical health and well-being. So concepts such as peace, serenity, gratitude, hope, love, beauty, joy, and even just positive thinking, all of these can help prevent physical illness and facilitate healing and promote a happier life. Now, isn't that something to think about? Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? Isn't it great that God gave us not just bodies, but He gave us minds, and He gave us a way to connect to Him? What a great connection that is. Shalom.
Don't go anywhere, friends. When we return, our friends from Voice of Prophecy will join us for a devotional thought. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We pray you are feeling the love and joy of Jesus this Monday morning. It's now time for our morning devotional.
Yes, our friends from Voice of Prophecy are here to share it with us.
John chapter 12 and Mark 14 record one of the most iconic stories in Scripture. In fact, it was Jesus Himself in these chapters who prophesied that wherever the gospel was told, the story found there would be shared. What story am I referring to? Well, none other than Mary's selfless gift to Jesus. Prior to this story, Jesus has worked the outrageous miracle of bringing Lazarus back from the dead after being dead for 4 days. As you can imagine, this has caused quite a stir among the people, to include the Jewish leaders, who are seeing the writing on the wall, what they feel will be an inglorious end to their reign. In their minds, there is no question about it. In order to secure their positions and the kingdom, Jesus must be put to death, along with Lazarus, who now is one of the greatest living witnesses of the divine power resting upon Jesus. John and Mark open these chapters with a supper at Simon's house. There seems to be a good number of people there, including the disciples and Martha, Mary, and the recently resurrected Lazarus, these three being family members of Simon. As typical, we could expect that Martha was a busy bee, running around making sure everything was just right. And can you imagine the stir around Lazarus? I mean, we all have a story to tell, but how many of us can say that we were dead, but then heard the voice of Jesus calling us out of the tomb? I can only imagine all of the questions that he was likely peppered with. What was it like to die? Did you feel anything? Did you see anything? Did you actually hear the voice of Jesus when he called you out of the grave? But how could you hear him if you were dead? Did you know what had just happened, or were you confused about why you were standing there wrapped in funeral cloth? And the list of questions go on and on. Honestly, I can't blame them for asking. If I had been there, I would have been the first one firing away. It's crazy to think about, and it's even more crazy that after a miracle of such caliber, there were still naysayers, unbelievers, and hateful murder-plotting men in that room. I mean, you've got this guy who all know was dead, was ordered to come out of the grave, and had no choice but to obey the order. This should have been enough to make men's knees weak and for all to declare that they were in the presence of the divine. At the sight of Jesus, every knee should have bowed and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. But instead, the miracle just served to harden the hearts of some, including Judas. Startling as it might be, it's not surprising. Take the Pentecost story found in Acts chapter 2. After Peter's compelling sermon, Scripture records that the listeners were cut to the heart and asked, "What must we do to be saved?" As a result, thousands were converted in a day. But in contrast, when Stephen preached his historical indictment against the people in Acts chapter 7, Scripture records that they also said the same thing. They were cut to the heart. But instead of asking about salvation, they stopped their ears, ran towards him like madmen, then stoned him. This, we are told, is the result of truth. It's a two-edged sword. To some, it is the life-giving spring of water. To others, it's a condemning rebuke that must be quieted at any cost. The latter is what Lazarus' resurrection was to many, and what the main story in John 12 and Mark 14 would be as well, especially to the traitor in their midst. While all are feasting and likely marveling at Lazarus, one guest of ill repute quietly makes her way to Jesus. In her hands, she has a token of her deep love and indebtedness to his long-suffering grace. This fragrant, costly oil of spikenard, locked away in an alabaster flask, she releases by breaking open the container. She then anoints Jesus' head and feet, drying them with her own hair. Why she thought she could possibly keep this gift a secret, we're not sure. And truth be told, she probably didn't give it much thought. She simply wanted to give something to Jesus that expressed her deep gratitude. But as soon as the flask was cracked, the powerful, odorous smell filled the room. Immediately, all eyes were on Mary the prostitute, and I can imagine the flurry of conversation, whispering, and indignation that erupted. It's clear that this perfume needed no introduction among those present, and that Judas knew its value right away and wasted no time to condemn what he called a waste. His pious pretense was to help the poor, but greed was his true motive for condemning her. Ashamed, scared, and confused, Mary probably wished the earth would just swallow her up. But then Jesus spoke. The same voice that commanded the dead to come out of the tomb ordered that they leave her alone. But she has done a good thing, predicting his death. You see, she had prepared him for burial. There are many lessons to be learned in this story. The love that flows from one who has been forgiven much, the hate that brews in the hearts of the proud and greedy, and the love and protection that Jesus shows for those who are weak, to name a few. But for me, the greatest story ever told is found in these two chapters. Not to be missed is what the alabaster flask represents. Beyond the sacrificial love, gift of Mary to her Redeemer, the flask symbolizes Jesus himself. He is the alabaster flask. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Jesus pledged to give his life to fallen man. This gift is a most precious gift, the most precious gift. No value can be attached to it. As the cost of the perfume was so expensive, some say a year's wages, that it was incomprehensible to be poured out in one swift, seemingly rash instance, much more was the gift of Jesus' life for us. And just like the smell of the gift permeated the room, the gift of God permeates the whole world. All are affected by the sweet aroma of the sacrifice of Christ. Some are powerfully drawn to Christ because in him is forgiveness, grace, life, love, and the hope of eternity. Others are disgusted by what a life Christ has to offer and waste the sacrifice that Christ made by turning away to the wickedness of this world. Yes, friends, the alabaster flask is none other than Jesus himself, broken and spilled out for a rebellious world. And the fragrance of his gift is everlasting. This is one perfume that will never fade, falter, or fail. This morning, Jesus is reaching out to you. He desires to fill your life with the sweet aroma of joy and beauty. He understands what you have been through. He knows your pain, fears, struggles, hopes, and dreams. He deeply feels your heart and wishes to unite it with his. He has made all provision for your salvation. All of heaven is at your disposal if you will simply let him be Lord of your life. Mary was steeped in sin and sorrow. The Bible says that Jesus cast out 7 demons from her. And even when she was pouring out her gift and being sharply criticized, I imagine she wondered if Jesus would criticize her too. Instead, as he did when she was cast at his feet for stoning, Jesus declared that he did not condemn her. Instead, he blessed her actions and immortalized them forever. That is the heart of God. What he did for Mary, he wishes to do for you, for me, for everyone. I invite you today to take his loving hand. Let him lift you up and carry you. Let his sweet aroma fill the air. I promise you will never be the same. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the gift of your son. Thank you for pouring out his life on our behalf, and that because of him, we have the ability to be saved. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Forgive us from all our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, I'm thankful to start this week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. We at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day.
What a blessing. Thank you so much.
Amen. And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And we invite you to join us tomorrow morning. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be having our devotional thought, and we'll have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team. Plus, Plus, we have music by Hope Harmonies. Be sure to tune in, friends. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides have helped so many people have a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. So get yours today. Again, that's hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. Today's promise is found in John chapter 14, verse 2.
It says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" What a marvelous thought.
Yes, it is. You know, Jesus is preparing a place just for you and just for me in heaven. Wow, have you ever stopped to just picture heaven? Imagine what that place would look like. It's beyond our imagination. And God knows everything we could ever want. And He desires us to find in heaven the place prepared for us. And He's preparing a place that will be perfect, friends. Perfect, just for you. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. How about you?
Amen. Me either. What a blessing today's program has been. We hope that you were also blessed and that your day will be filled with reminders of the love, joy, and peace found in Jesus.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, yes, Lord, our hearts are filled with anticipation for what you are preparing for us. The Bible calls it the blessed hope. It's blessed because we have great expectation. And it's blessed because we're so happy to know that there's a God who cares for us, a God who is love. And you're preparing all these things, Lord, because you love us so deeply. So thank you for giving us this courage. Thank you for giving us this hope. In Jesus' name, amen.